Well, good morning.
Can y'all hear me back there okay? So how much time do I have? I tend to, Sharon will give me the sign. Y'all gonna be out of here by 9?
That means that you need to wrap it up.
Yeah. So John is really like a son to me. He's kind of like the
prodigal.
Yes, the prodigal son. So he's taking a little bit of work because I'd give him advice and he'd do the exact opposite. So he's done it the hard way. I am completely blown away by this whole thing. And I just want to piggyback on the gentleman from H&R AgriPower. Where's he at? Man, is he exactly right. But I'm going to give you a different perspective than that. Do y'all care, or from my perspective, I'm going to talk about that some. Do y'all care if I take a quick video of just sweeping like that? Is that okay or no? Nobody want that? Just turn the other way if you don't want. Because I just want to show this kind of thing. You guys have no idea how lucky you are. You don't. So I was driving up here today. I forgot how beautiful this is. There was no traffic when I was coming on those back roads in Elton. If there are any farms for sale, please call me. This way of life, this community support for agriculture in general, he is exactly right. It is so rare, you don't even have any idea. But so I want to take a quick to just remind myself of this level of participation. Yeah, this is the Todd County Ag Appreciation Breakfast, the annual breakfast, right? That's what this is. Okay, all right, enough of that. So just quickly, so I was back in, who's over the age of 60? You might, several. Probably less than, Sharon raised, my wife raised her hand. But anybody less than that may not follow this exactly. So in 1984, I graduated from vet school at UT. I was interested in dairy practice. The best dairy practitioner and one of the best dairy practitioners was Dr. James Brett. Anybody know him? No, a few. And so I interned here in 1984 with James Brett. He said, we're gonna hire you. I graduated from vet school. He didn't call me until 6 months later. I was already a job in Manchester, Tennessee. He called me and I came up here. And so from early 1985 to 1993, I was here. Some of the best years of my life because of the work ethic and the faith and all of that stuff that goes with it. That's where you're lucky. You just got to cherish and hold on to that. And so from there, so we had the dairy farm back at home, but we had sold it in 1985, just before or after the buyout. Anybody remember the buyout in 1985? We just missed it. What do you know about it? But I wasn't there, I wasn't at the farm, and I wanted to go back to the farm, not because the practices weren't going well, because at that time, Kevin Vance, I don't know if anybody remembers Kevin Vance. He and I were partners. We had Logan County Animal Clinic after, and then Todd Logan Veterinary Services right down here. So we did have another Butler County Animal Clinic, but we closed it. The first day down there at the Butler County Animal Clinic, it was 8 o'clock in the morning, and the guy drove up with a bunch of coon hounds in the back of the truck, and he was drinking a Budweiser. I said, well, this is... this is going to be interesting practice, but we closed that one. All right, so then I established Rockin' Country Veterinary Services in 1992. My brother and I formed a partnership when we opened the dairy back up. And so from 1992 to 2000, we milked in a flat barn, built a parlor barn, and then from 2000 to 2007, we almost starved to death. We'd have one good year and two bad ones. We're going to have to do something different. We started bottling our own milk with Middle Tennessee State University. They helped us as a pilot project. We built a creamery, Abe Hatcher Creamery, on the farm in 2009. We were so scared to get out of the co-op because the co-op balances your milk. So The name of the game when you bottle your own milk is to sell every drop you make that week because it's perishable. And so it's not a whole, it is about milk production, but it's a different name of the game besides producing all the milk. You want to sell all the milk that you bottle. So anyhow, 2012, we finally got out of the co-op. We were selling every drop, and we've been selling every drop ever since, and we can't keep up with this, with the demand. And so started to get a bad arthritis in my arm, in my wrist. Started part-time with the state of Tennessee. Is Yoni's disease coordinator, if you know what Yoni's disease is. Then animal ID coordinator on full-time. And in 2009, I became state veterinarian. Was that for a decade until Bill Lee named me Commissioner of Agriculture in December 2018 at the Farm Bureau Convention. And then I was Commissioner of Agriculture until for almost 7 years till last October, and then retired after 21 years of service with the state to run for Tennessee's congressional 5th district. So that's the story to get where I am. At the current location on the farm, it's Hatcher Family Dairy. We've been in that Arnold community in Williamson County 207 years since 1819. Williamson County is one of the richest counties in the universe. In the Wall Street Journal, just a year or two ago, there was an article, one of the richest zip codes in the United States, 37046. And on the map was Hatcher Family Dairy, The Grove, which is a gated community across the street from us. The cheapest house is $2 million. And you can get a golf membership there if you live there for $150,000. Used to be 7 farms. Now it's The Grove. 700 to 800 houses. So we're holding on to that. We have, my portion of the original family farm was 184 acres. I bought some back. Now I have road frontage almost a quarter of a mile. It used to be 200 feet. And we have 210 acres there. And those people across the road, many of them are our customers. Some of them are not. Some of them, we've got a friend that's a UPS driver. He heard one of the people in The Grove talking at a restaurant and said, you know, sometimes it smells like cow manure. And we have flies, more flies than we like to have. And he looked at him and said, how long have you lived in The Grove? And they said, 5 months. And they said, well, the Hatcher's been there over 200 years. And he didn't say another word. But people don't understand where their food comes from. They don't understand the work that goes into it and the sacrifice. You know, if you're a farmer, what you sacrifice every single day. I have poured every dime I have into that dairy farm. Why do I do that? For me, I'm a generational guy. I want to pass it on to the next generation. We're just custodians of that land, just passing through. A little bit about agriculture. I don't want to talk too long. Now I'll take a few questions. So 2023-2024, according to USDA, under the Biden administration, they had the numbers, was the largest. It was a 50% decline in net farm income. Largest in history, 2023-2024. 2025, no better or worse. Commodity prices, what did they do? And now 2026 is not looking that good. In Tennessee, we're losing 10 acres of high-value farmland per hour. Per hour. I don't know what, y'all are pretty stable in Kentucky, right? I don't know the numbers. But it's a wake-up call for just what he said. You've got to continue to work the land and take care of the livestock and feed the world and make a living. But there's only 3 ways to make a living in farming, or a combination of them. Economies of scale, right? Income diversification. You know what I mean by that? the best way is to have somebody have a town job or have a successful business that supports your habit. I mean, that's a good one. So the veterinary clinic oftentimes supports the dairy operation. And the third one is value added. Not everybody can do that, but a lot of people can. Like in our area, the customer base, they're willing to pay. We sell our milk. We don't sell it. Well, yes, we do. We sell 20% of our milk at our dairy store for $6 a gallon. There's no tax on it, no sales tax on food that you produce and sell off your farm in Tennessee. I don't know how it is here. Y'all don't have any tax on food anyhow. I like that. Where was I? Talking about what? Yeah, value added. So I was talking about the milk. And so the value added, what it did is, so we had to, it, as soon as we started bottling our own milk, we went from production agriculture, which we were pretty good at, and then you start, if you add value and you start processing with the creameries, so you have the processing and the quality control and the social media and the logistics and the distribution and all that. So, but we did all that at the same time. We had a big enough family, a talented enough family to do it. But when we did that, it quadrupled our gross income. I mean, like overnight, we went from like, we were making like $250,000 gross a year off 50 cows at the time. And now we're probably $2 million or more. It's rising because, but you can buy Walmart milk or, you know, generic milk that's not really branded. $3 a gallon, or is it less than that now? What is milk at the grocery store here? What is it? $3.25? So we're selling ours for $6, and Whole Foods sells it for $7 plus tax, and people pay it. Now, it's not really fair because it's we're milking Jersey cows. We don't skim the cream off. The standardized average for whole milk is 3.25, and we're milking mostly Jersey cows, so our milk is almost, it's 4.5%, and the fat's where the taste is, so it's really not a fair comparison, so it's not the same. So that's the power of value added. But the current state of agriculture is not good. Y'all know that. What's the lone bright spot? Beef. So beef on dairy is what's holding up the dairy industry right now. So I had a friend of mine that is in the dairy industry, milking cows in Tennessee. He takes Holstein bull calves and takes them to Smith's Grove, and if they're pretty good size, $800 to $1,150. He took a solid black one that was a half, $1,375. We sold some Holstein steers the other day for $5 a pound. So that's the lone bright spot. It's the first time ever in my lifetime, before I stepped down as Commissioner of Agriculture, row crop farmers were asking us, what can we grow to make a living? Or what should we do different? So we're in a tough time right now, but I really do believe that, you know, farmers are resilient. We'll find a way to get through it. But I would encourage you to keep your faith and keep strong with the family and try your best so that they can make a living wage off the farm, however you do that. Because when they graduate, I saw this in Tennessee. We have a lot of economically distressed counties. And so a lot of these counties, there's no jobs that they can get when they graduate high school or college, and they live on a farm, and they can't make enough money, and the farm's not doing well. What do? They either sell the farm, or they drive to another county, a pretty good wage, for a good paying job, or they leave the farm. So we're in a crisis, at least for the entire United States, on the loss of family farms, and it's not going away. Questions?
Nobody's got any questions.
Solutions. The gentleman from AgriPower. Do what?
What is the solution? What is the solution?
Ooh. You know, if they went hungry for a while, that would do it. You know, and I often think about that. So during the ice storm, this is a true story. So we prepared. Did y'all have ice or y'all have snow? So it was really bad in Nashville, and it was really bad in parts of Williams County and parts of Lewis County and others. I mean, so we were, literally you could hear the trees falling and the branches falling. And Jennifer lives up a mile up the driveway on the back of the farm. And so they couldn't get out, so they cleared the driveway coming down. By the time they got to the bottom, cleared it, they had to clear it, go back. They had to clear it like three times. The trees were falling so quick. But during that ice storm, it occurred to me, so the people next door in the $2 million houses, some of them were trying to heat their homes with those $7 pack of five pieces of wood. I mean, literally, I think they would starve or freeze to death. If they, you know, we can hunt or fish or we can grow our food and we can make it, right? Right? That's rare. So at some point, I think the farmer's going to be king again. But we have to begin to also to recruit. There's not enough farm kids to replace the ones that we're losing. We had to recruit kids from every walk of life or any age. It doesn't matter what age they are. I mean, people. So Jennifer, my daughter's recruited several veterinarians that were small animal only, and they came to her practice, and they became large animal veterinarians, and they were from a subdivision. So it can happen. So if you've got people that you know that have interest in farming, whether they're from, y'all don't even have inner city here. There's no inner city here. So maybe there might be somebody in some inner city that might be interested in farming. I also come across, I had a widow of a farmer that had like 380 acres. This is a true story. She called me and she said, I have nobody to leave this to. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I told her, I said, if you could find somebody to mentor and bring him in, and if they put in the work ethic and they want a farm, she said, I like that idea. So that's what she's going to try to do. So you need to begin. Anybody that's got any age on them at all, or you don't have to have any age on you, you need to have a transition plan for your farming operation. Farmers don't like to think about dying, I don't guess, or they farm. They don't ever retire. They just farm till they die. But you know, there's a difference between a wheel and a transition plan. You understand that? So if you've got any kids at all, or anybody at all interested in your farming operation, figure out how you can set them up for success before you die. And then maybe we'll lose. So transition planning, income generation, making a good living, recruiting new farmers is some of the ways that you can do it. But that's a good question. We're running out of time. Sharon's shaking her head.
Kids got to get back to school.
Yeah. Any last questions?
I have one.
Yes.
Not to get political.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I did when I was commissioner. Yeah, so you're exactly right. So in my district, what I'm running in, some of the biggest problem, it's infrastructure. They're running out of water in some of the in Columbia. Whoever thought we'd run out of water, they've just overgrown so much. And then we got the traffic. But you know what the biggest one is? Energy. I mean, we're this far from rolling blackouts with TVA in certain parts of the South, I think. You remember what Texas went through not too long ago? So agriculture is 100% could be a solution to energy, right? Biomass, biofuels. You know, you can burn unusable timber and turn it into energy. And you can use corn and soybeans, as you already know, into biodiesel and sustainable aviation fuel. You know, the thing that's driving that is the European countries, that they want to have sustainable aviation fuel. And they want it to be as green as possible. And part of that solution is sustainable aviation fuel from agricultural products. So, yeah. That's one thing that that people need to understand. You know, agriculture is my life. And, I've got whole milk running through my veins. I've drank so much of it. And it's good for you. But I'm going to do my level best. I'm going to represent agriculture, all of agriculture, if I get elected to go down there. But is that this politics is the nastiest thing I've ever seen. I don't want to get into that. It's like, you know, it's, you got the very extreme right and you got the very extreme left, and it's almost like they merge at times, and then there's so much hatred to go around. So I'm not going to change my values when I get down there, but I can. We should be able to debate on the floors of Congress and then go out to dinner. Why? I mean, they used to do it. I mean, are you going to get so mad at somebody on their political views you want to beat them up or shoot them or something? Well, hope nobody's got their recorders. But like you said, a handshake and common sense. That's lost. This world is going the wrong direction. Right?
100%. To answer that other question right there, and it goes back to the basis of just my life, the answer is hope and prayer. And that's where communities like this start.
It starts with faith, right?
And you can't be ashamed of it. Hope and prayer. That's where it starts.
Because that's really all that matters. All this other stuff, secondary. Yeah. Okay, who do I turn this back over to?